Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to the Nishmas of Imoyer of David Ben Rav Yosef. Today's daf is Moed Katan Daf Yud Aleph. We left off at the very bottom line of Yudam Beis at the words Tanya Nami Gabi Avodazar. Good morning, Avi, Stephen, David Yoshua, and the Chever here in Beaver Creek, Colorado. Exciting to be a mixing two Chevers of Daf Yomi. Here we go. Says the Gemara, Tanya Nami Gabi Avodazar. The last case we just had in yesterday's daf is that if you want to collect a debt on Chol HaMoed, it's a davar avod. What do you mean? You could collect it just as much right after Yom. No, you know the guy's home Chol HaMoed. You don't know he's going to be home afterwards. So that's called the davar avod. You may never get the money again if you don't know where to get the guy. But you know he's home. So now the Gemara is going to have a similar case, a similar dispensation by Avodah Zarah. Tanya Nami Gabi Avodah Zarah Ki Ay Gavna. We just learned in a brisa, as far as the halachas of Avodah Zarah, a similar kind of situation. What's the situation? So we have a brisa. Holchin liyirid shel ovdei kochavim mazalos. You are allowed to go to a fair, like a marketplace of Avodah Kochavim Mazalos. Now, they used to conduct these fairs. Apparently, a holiday sales is not a very new thing. This is a very, very old thing. So they used to have a whole market day on the day of Avodah Zarah. So you had, I don't know, the Xmas sales or whatever. You have the different Yontif had a different sale. So they used to have a market day, Dafka, on the day when they used to celebrate the holiday. You could purchase at these market days animals, slaves, houses, fields, vineyards. Vikosev. Now, you'd have to write a document. You want to write a document to show that this is now yours. And you are allowed to even take that document and certify that document in secular court. Usually you're not supposed to go to secular court. Because if you need the secular court to give the approval for the document so that in case you have an argument with the guy afterwards, so you'll have the approval from secular court. So it's considered to be a davar ha'avud because on the yontif, you know that the secular court is going to be sitting. So you know they're going to be sitting because there's a lot of business that they would do. So you knew the court was in session. But if you want to get it approved a week later or a day later, you don't know if the court's going to be there, and the guy could start handling with you, so it's a davar ha'avud. So you knew he was going to be there on yontif, so you're allowed to dafka get it. So that's a similar kind of situation that we had before. Now, there's a machlokas here, Rashi, you know, the Rishonim. What's the isser that you're saying? So if you look at Rashi, actually, it's Rashi and Erevin. Rashi and Erevin says that what's the isser to take it to the Gaisha court in this case? The isser is because even though it's a chashivus and kavod to the goyim that you're going the fact that you're going to their court on the yontif, so it's gonna give them a little extra added excitement on the yontif when they go daven on the yontif. You're gonna say, oh, you see, the Jews are coming to our courts. That's what Rashi writes in Erevin.
Question is that tzak valid by a bezin?
What do you mean? Hold on. Are you allowed to go to Bezdin?
After, if something happens, yeah. Is that binding?
Is the psak of the Archos binding? Yeah, he's with a non-Jew. Well, let's see, Mandy, give me 1 second. So, to your point, Mandy, hold on a second. So the Ritva and the Ran say, what's Rashi talking about? This week's Parsha. What a Daf Yomi coincidence. This week's Parsha. That Eila Mishpatim Hashatasim Lefneim V'lo Lefnei Goyim. What do you mean? You're not allowed to go to a Goyish court. That's the issue that we're talking about here, that we had a dispensation to allow you to go to a Goyish court. It's not that you're afraid that the Goyim are going to praise their God. Forget that. Rashi in the sixth parsha says that there's an isser for a Jew and a Goy to go to a Goyish court. Shehamevi dine Yisrael, this is Lashon Rashi in this week's parsha. Hamevi dine Yisrael lefnei Goy mechal l'sashem u'miyakshim avodazar lachshiva. That if you go to a secular court, that's an isser. So that's what we're talking about here. We relax since there's makom hefsid and isser derabanan. So we'll see in a second. Why isn't it derabanan? So the Chazal relaxed this isser because of makom because it's a makom pseida. So you're allowed to go to the secular court. Says the Chasam Sofer. Why did Rashi not like that pshat? Rashi didn't like that pshat because that's only if you're taking a guy to court over an issue that you have between him. In this case, there's no issue right now. There's no machlokas. You just purchased the thing from the guy. You need the Goyish Accord to stamp it for approval. So there would be no Isser of going to Goyish Accord of Lefneim below had Yotis, says the Chasam Sof in such a case. So Rashi says, no. In this case, that's not the Isser. So Rashi had to come up with a different Isser, that you're going on their Yontif, so you're showing that your Machshiv, their Goyish courts on their Yontif, so that's going to cause them to give extra Shevach Vahodah to their gods on that day. Anyway, that's the machlokas. Let's consider. So let's continue. So
and if it's not their yontif, then this is awful.
Yeah, if it's not their yontif, then according to Rashi, there would be no problem to get this document approved in a Goyish court. So, but you're right. But Mendy, again, I Bezdin, I don't know if Bezdin would agree to. But again, it's against the guy, so I don't see how it would ever come to Bezdin in the first place. But Rav Sharalat Lechia Barashi Lemigdal Ore. Rav permitted Chia Barashi to. Now we're back to what's considered to be a Meleches Uman versus a Meleches Hedyot. So Rav permitted Chia Barashi to braid fishnets b'chol demoada. On Chol HaMoed, because he needed to trap the fish to eat on Chol HaMoed. My time, a Maisa Hedyot, who, it's not a Maisa Uman, it's a Maisa Hedyot. Apparently, these are very crude, small nets. Aval Islay, but bird nets, which apparently were much more complicated to make and much more fun, which is considered the Melechus Uman, Usser, my time, Maisa Umanu. Rav Yudashar Lami Tanura, this guy Ami was the oven maker. They called him Ami Tanura. Lemigdal Tanure. He allowed them to build, ovens in order to bake on Chol HaMoed. Ula Rabba Bar Ispi L'migdal Mahulta to braid a sifter on because you needed it for Chol HaMoed. Ask the Gemara, Inni, Vatani, didn't we have a brice yesterday's daf? Vatan Rabbi Bar Shmuel, V'shavin, both Reb Lezer Chachamim agree, She'ain Godlin Tana L'chatchilo. What do you mean? You're not allowed to make an oven. You're not allowed to make an oven. Ask the Gemara, Lokasha, Kan Mimos HaCham, Kan Mimos HaKshamim. In the summertime, the sun is so hot, if you made an oven on Chol HaMoed, it would already be dried by the end of the day. You could already use it on Chol HaMoed. But in the wintertime, it didn't dry out so quickly, so it wasn't able to be used right away. So you're not allowed to make an oven on Chol HaMoed because it couldn't possibly be used on Yontif. It couldn't be Letzarech HaMoed. It's not going to dry out quick enough. Let's see the next Mishnah. Osin Maka Lagagol and Repesin Maisa Hedjot Avalo Maisa Uman. If you have to make a wall to protect your roof or your porch, so you're allowed to make it on Chol HaMoed, Maisa Hedyot, but not a Maisa Uman. Because Maisa Uman is only permissible Letzorech Ochol Nefesh or Letzorech Davar HaAvud. So says the Meiri. That, so Maisa Uman would not be permitted. We'll see in the Gemara exactly what's the difference. What's considered a Maisa Hedyot? Shafin Esas Sudakin. You're also allowed to smear clay over the cracks in an oven. Umagilin also b'magila. Even allowed to use a kli, which is more like a ma'is uman, we'll see in the Gemara, to smoothen out the oven on Chol HaMoed. Biyad uveregel, or you could use, the Gemara is going to change this, or you could use your hand or your foot. I mean, obviously, if you're allowed to use a kli, kavachom, you can use your hand or your foot. The Gemara is going to ask Takasha. Avalo b'machlatzayim, you can't use this fancy kli, because that's more like a ma'is uman. We'll see in the Gemara. Hatsir, Vatsinor, Vakora, Vamanol, Vamavtech, Shenishbru, Mesaktim, Vemoid. These are various parts of a door. The hinge of a door, the bolt, the beam that locks it, the manol, the lock, Mavtech, the key. They used to have doors, they used to have different pieces of it. Shenishbru, if they break, Mesaktim, Vemoid, you could fix the Chol HaMoed. You don't want to leave your door open on Chol HaMoed. Forget, everyone's going to steal everything. You know, some people, they leave the doors open, but the Mishnah seems to say that you got to lock your door. You got to lock your door. If your door's open, people are going to come into your house and take everything that you have. So you're allowed to fix it on Chol HaMoed. Well, eventually, it's coming last lock the mode, but you're not allowed to, if you have a broken door, you can't like say, oh, Chol HaMoed, I'll have time to fix it. Now, you can't do that. You got to fix it when it's the time. So you got to fix it when it's the time. Well, eventually, it's coming lock the mode. The Chol Kavashin, you are allowed to pickle. Let's say you want to take cucumbers and make them into pickles.
Isn't that clause for everything that we've just been learning for the last couple of days? If you could do it before Chol HaMoed, before Yontif, you
right,
should.
That's
you
true.
A situation now where you can't.
Right.
Happens,
maybe this is something that a person would more likely do. It's a good question. Very good question. You're at everything. You're not allowed to be Mekav Malach to the Moed. Good question. Good question. Apparently, this is the type of a thing that you're going to wait around. You know, that door is broken. You're going to wait around until you have time. Kolomo, you're off from work. You have some time to deal with it. But that's a good kasha. Yeah, that's the same by everything. I don't know. If you could eat it on Yontif, if the pickling process will be quick enough that you could pickle it on Cholamoid and be able to eat it, so then you're allowed to do that. Says the Gemara, Hechi dami ma'isa hedyot, what type of makah, what type of gate for your roof is considered to be a ma'isa hedyot? Says the Gemara, behutza v'dafna. One second. Yeah. So maybe
to answer what Mendy is saying is that if it's a davra avud, maybe it's hutra, not tachuya. Maybe you'd think you can do it even if you were able to do it before you enter.
Maybe. Could be. So heichidami ma'isa hedjot rav yosef bar behutza v'dafna. Just the branches. You're going to put some branches, a very temporary kind of a fence. Ma'asistana tsar b'tsroar. You could even make a stone fence, which is a little more serious, but as long as you don't put the clay in, it's not considered to be a ma'isa uman. It's a ma'isa hedjo. Shafna says, talking about umaglinos of magela, uviyad uveregel. You're allowed to use a clay, like this roller, to smash down the cement, and you can even use your hand or your foot. This is a mahash magela. I'm sure you tell me it's mutter with the clay, but yad uveregel, isn't it obvious you can use your hand or your foot? No, this is what it means. Hachkamer. Shafna says, talking, you're allowed to smear the clay over the cracks in the oven. You're allowed to roll your hand and your foot over it and even do as good a job as a ma'agela would do. But to use a kli, that would already be a ma'is uman. And therefore, you're not allowed to do that on cholamoy. All these parts of the door, if they break, you could fix on cholamoy. Uriminu, I'll ask you a contradiction. So the Mishnah says that all these things, you're allowed to fix it normally, even though you're going to have to use a hammer, it's going to be, right? So now, it's a davar avud, but you're going to use a hammer, you're going to use professional tools, and it's going to make a lot of noise. So the Gemara asks a contradiction. Urminu, there's a Gemara in Sota, which says that by Yochanan Kohen Gadol, ad yomav hayapatish makah b'Yerushalayim, up until the days of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, they would, on Chol HaMoed, they would use hammers and make big noises and make big fix. They would fix up the house on Chol HaMoed because it's a davar avud. If you're not going to fix the door, it's a davar avud. So, ad yom av in, mikan ve'elech lo. Sounds like after his days, you couldn't do it anymore. So how come our Mishnah says you can do it and in Sota it says that you can't do it? So the Gemara gives a number of answers to this. Why did Yochanan make a takana you can't do it? Because when you're like hiring a fix-it guy to come into your house and he's smashing on the door and he's making loud noises, so 5 blocks away, they hear there's work going on at Kamenetsky's house, it's Cholamoid. Now they don't know that the work that's going on is Dover Ava, they just hear the work. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol made a takana that you're not allowed to do loud work on Cholamoid that somebody who's listening to it might think that you're doing work on Cholamoid. He doesn't know it's Dover Ava. So he made a takana you can't do it. So what's the story? Can you or can't you? So the Gemara gives a number of answers, I think three answers. Lokasha. Kan b'dinafche, kan b'dinagre. There's a difference between a blacksmith or a guy working in wood, a carpenter. A blacksmith, so when he smashes things, makes a loud noise, people can hear it from far away. But a carpenter is not as loud, and therefore not so worried. That's one answer. Maskif la Rav Chista Yomru Kala Rabba Asa Kala Zuta Shari. How could he say such a thing like that? Make us this dakistic distinction. By Jews, they don't like these kind of distinctions, right? You know, it's got to be black and white. If you give them a little bit, they're going to go all the way. So what are you going to tell them? You know, that's a very fine distinction. People are going to come to get confused. What's mutter? What's aser? So the Gemara says El Amar Rav Chista, you're right. Lokasha Hab Magle Hab Chatzine. Magle is a type of saw. Apparently that made no noise at all. Never saw such a saw, but okay. Ha b'chatzine. But if it's a type of kli that makes any sound at all, that's going to be usser. That's one. That's answer number two, or answer number one, depending how you're counting. Rav Papa Amar kan kodem gzera kan lach gzera. Very simple answer. One Gemara is talking about before, our Mishnah is talking about before Yochanan Kohen Gadol made the gzera, and this Gemara in Sota is talking about after the gzera. So after the gzera, you weren't allowed to make any loud noises because of Maris Ayin. And a fourth answer, Rav Ashi Amar, HaRabbi Yehuda HaRabbi Yossi. No, there's a general machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, by Moleches Davar HaAvod, are you allowed to do with a Shinoi? Are you allowed to only do it with a Shinoi Davar HaAvod? Even Davar, so Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is, Davar HaAvod, that's Mutan Chalamod, you're only allowed to do it with a Shinoi. Rabbi Yossi says, no, once it's Davar HaAvod, you're allowed to do it even without a Shinoi. He says, you're even allowed to do it without a Shinoi. Where do they have their original machlokas? So, that's going to be in tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf, we're going to see a Mishnah, a guy who has wine, and the wine's all ready to be pressed, but something happens, an onus happens, whatever it is, you can't do it. Till afterwards, what are you allowed to do, b'di'eved? So, Rav Yehuda only allows you to do a little bit, but not that much, because he says you can only, even though it's a davar avud, you're only allowed to do malacha with a Shinoi. But Rabbi Yossi is more lenient. He says you can press all of your wine and your grapes on all of your oil, I think he's talking about oil. I'm sorry, wine. Yeah. The wine, so he says you're allowed to press all of it for Davar HaAvod. He doesn't make you make a Shinoi. So the Gemara assumes, look inside, Damar Rabbi Yitzchak Barav Dimi, Man Tana Shinoi B'moid B'Davar HaAvod. Who's the author that says you have to do a Shinoi by Davar Avod, Delo Rabbi Yossi. That's going like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, the Gemara is assuming, just like Rabbi Yossi is more lenient by Malachan Cholamoid, by Davar Avod, he allows you to do a Davar Avod at a Shinoi, so too he's going to be more lenient by this case, and he's going to allow you to make a loud noise by Davar Avod, and he's not going to be worried about Meir Sayin. Why these two things necessarily interconnected is a good question. The Rishonim work on it, but that's the assumption of the Gemara. Amar Ravina, Keman Madlina Inna Kav Yusa, the Dasha B'chol Demoada, according to whose opinion do we permit nowadays that if let's say your beam of your door falls out and the nails are sticking out, you could just jam it right back in without any Shinoi Kaman Karab Yossi? He says that you're allowed to do Malacha Davar Avud even without a Shinoi. Kvashim Shu Yoch Alecha B'moid Kovshan. So you're allowed to make pickles, you're allowed to take cucumbers, make them into pickles, if you can do a Cholamoid. Bedisa Libai, the river in the town of Libai, Kavre, had a lot of fish in it. Now, what they used to do there, so basically they diverted the river, and there was a lot of fish left over. Azle Kuleama, so the entire world came over there on Cholamoid, Tsud Aisu Kavra. So they grabbed lots of fish from there for Cholamoid. Now, because there was so many fish there, they couldn't eat all of it on Chol HaMoed. So they asked the rabbis, they took all this fish from there, are they allowed to take the extra fish and salt them and use them for after Yontif? Sharlu Rava Lamilim Minay. So Rava permitted them to fill up the fish, Lamimlach Minay. Rava permitted them to salt them and use them after Chol HaMoed. Ask them, I'm allowed to buy it. Abai said to Rava, Vatanan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah, you're only allowed to salt things that you're going to be able to use on Cholamoid. Kavashan Shiyach Lechemem B'moid, Kovshan. So Amalei, Rava answered back to Abaye, Kevedemei Kardai Tadachilai Sinu, since originally they had harvested these fish with the intention of eating a Cholamoid, they just mistakenly got too much, they took too much, so there was leftover. Vishavachlu Paste, and if you leave the fish around, they're going to spoil. Kiparkrat Yahavudami. So now, even though Lechatchila, you weren't allowed to take extra, once you took it by accident, it's now considered to be a davar avod because now you're going to lose. Now it's yours, so you're going to lose the fish. If you don't salt them, you're going to lose them. So it's.
And this happened every year.
I guess not, right? You can't make that trick every year. Kiprakmat yahavadami vishari. Now some had this story a little differently. Vigadamre sharoluhu rava meitzad mezel aitu yumimlach. No, in the beginning, Rava already allowed them to go and take more than they needed for Chol HaMoed and salt the leftovers. Oh, Amalei Abaye. So beforehand, it was Rava yelling at Abaye. So Amalei Abaye, V'anan kvashin shu yochel lechomen kovshin tanan. What do you mean? How could you let them do this? Amalei, hani nami mis'ach lev agav itzitza. No, even though he's salting it like crazy, if he really wanted to eat in Chol HaMoed, he could still eat it, even though it was... very salted. By doing what? By pouring water over it multiple times and soaking it in water many, many times, you could remove the salt from it, and it was possible to eat in Chol HaMoed. And I'll bring you a proof, Rava says, Ki Hada Shmuel, Avdalei Shisin Itzdei. Like there was a mice that happened by Shmuel that they poured water over it 60 times. I think the Mefarshim say 60 is lapped off, it just means a lot of times.
It's like a Howell type of thing?
I'm sorry?
It's like Howell.
Yeah, since I could potentially eat it on Chol HaMoed, so now, even though in the state that it's in now, I can't, a Howell, yeah, Howell vi Miklazi Archim, right, yeah. Since it witness, said, so to over here. Va'achal. The Gemara tells more stories about this. Rava iklo be Reish Kalusa, v'avdali shisin itzei. Rava went to the house of the Reish Kalusa, and same thing, he ate these very salty fish by drowning in water 60 times. Va'achal. Rav iklo be Rav Shapir. He went to the house of someone named Rav Shapir. Aisakam Yahu Kavra. So they brought him a fish, tilsa bishula, one third was cooked, tilsa milcha, one third was very, very salted, and then they poured water over it. The tilsa tavya, and one third of it was roasted, fried. So you see again what the water helps. Amarav, Amali Ada Tsaida Kavra. So Rav said this fellow named Ada, who was a fisherman, Tsaida Kavra, he was a fisherman, Samach Lemisrche Mali. You know when the best time to eat the fish is? When it's just about to go spoiled. So that's the best time to eat the fish. What's that doing in the Gemara over here? I don't know. We're talking about how to eat fish. Okay, I guess so. The Amar Rav, Amali Ada Tsaida Kavra, this Ada, the fisherman, told me, this is the way to eat fish. Tavya ba'achua. So you should roast, you should fry it with its brother. What's that? Salt, which also comes from the ocean. That's why it's called its brother. And asuke ba'avua. After you fry it, so then soak it in its father. That's the water. The water is the fish's father, because that's the water is what gives you the fish, as it were, it begets you the fish. So then soak it afterwards, and then michle bibrei, and eat it together with its son. Who is its son? The brine that comes out of the fish. If you eat it together with the brine, so that's the best way to eat it. Ishta alei avua, and then afterwards you should drink some more of its father. The water. V'amarav, Amali Adat Saida, Kavra. A person who's eating fish, Tachle, or I think that's dates, Shachalayim. I don't know what's that mean. What do you have in the English over there? What's Shachalay? Tachle? Is it dates? Crest? Yeah, okay, thank you. V'chalba, at least I'm not the only one who doesn't understand the art scroll. V'chalba, milk. All these things are very heavy on the body. That's why Kamenetsky doesn't drink milk. Okay. Liton gufa velo liton purya. So you should walk a lot after eating these things, right? So that they digest. And don't go to sleep right away after eating these things, because it's going to be bad for your digestion. So walk a little bit. It'll help the digestion after you have a lot of milchigs or a lot of these other things. Amarav. Amali Ada Tsaida, so Ada the fisherman, said to me, Kavra Tachli V'chalba Maya V'lo Shechra. Afterwards, drink water but not beer. But if you only have beer, Shechra V'lo Chamra. Better to drink beer, not wine, because that's going to make it much worse for digestion. Hadron Alach Mashkin Beis HaShalchim. We have completed, Baruch Hashem, the first, Be'ezus Hashem, we completed the first parak. Let's begin the second parak of Moed Katan, Misha Hafak. So in this parak, we're going to talk about a lot of the halachas about Davra Avud on Chol HaMoed. And first, we're going to talk a lot about the oil process, how you would make the oil. So how would you make oil? So you collected a lot of olives into a big kli called a matan, and you smashed them together, and that would soften them up and help ripen them and soften them, and then it would make the oil easier for it to come out of the olives. And after 4 or 5 days in this kli, so you would smash them around in there to check them out. You would turn them over and check them out to make sure they're ripe on all sides. And afterwards, you would bring them to the oil press, And then first you would grind them up with a grinder, and you'd collect all of the ground up olives in a big basket. And then you would place a korah, a beam, on top of the ground up olives. And that was the process of how you would produce the oil. Says the Mishnah. Misha hafach hazesav. So you already turn them over. You're checking them to see that they're soft. So you see that they're soft. And it's a davar avud because you got to now press it now. Because if you don't press now, they're going to get messed up. So v'iru avel. So you're already doing it. Now you become an avel. Now the halacha is an avel is not allowed to do work. All 7 days of avel is not allowed to do work. But now if you don't squeeze out the olives, you're going to lose all the money. So what are you going to do? So you're going to have a big hefset. Or, another case is ones, right? He got sick. Oh, shehit u palim. You hired workers to do it, and they backed out on you. The workers backed out. So what are you allowed? You're allowed to do some of it. Toin kor rishona. So it's permissible on chol hamoed. We'll see. And by Avelos. We'll see that with on Cholom. So towing Kor Rishona, the Gemara is going to ask. You started talking about the laws of Avelos, and now you flip to Yantif. What's going on? Towing Kor Rishona. So on Cholom, you're allowed to do the first pressing of the beam so that the main oil you'll get out of it. Umanicha la'achar amoid, divi Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says you could just do the first pressing, but the rest you have to wait till after Cholom, even if you're going to lose. Again, the Gemara was going to ask. It started with Avels and went to Chalamoid. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Omer, Zolef v'gomer, you could complete the entire process and take up all the oil, v'gof kedarko, and then you can cover it over the way you do it all the rest of the days of the year. Ask the Gemara, Pasach be'evil v'seim b'moid. What's going on over here? You started off telling me the laws of Avels, and you finished with the Chalamoid. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shisha Brei Rav Idi, Zos Omeres, we can prove from our Mishnah, Dvarim Hamutarim B'moed. This that we permitted because of Davar Avon Chol HaMoed, Asurim B'mei Evlo. So that's why the Tana doesn't tell you. Because it's, the way to read the Mishnah is, it's only, such an avoda would only be permissible during Chol HaMoed Mishum Davar Avod, but B'mei Avelos, it's not permissible. Why are the laws of Avelos more serious than the laws of Chol HaMoed? So Tosfos, on tomorrow's daf, explains that the Issur Melacha of Avelos is midrabanan. Chol HaMoed is ikaro midoraisa. We learned already the Chamos go doraisa. And paradoxically, Chachamim asu chezak ledevreim yosef mishal Torah. That sometimes you find that the rabbis take their, it's counterintuitively, the rabbis make their halachas more strict than the doraisas even. Why? Because people will be more lenient with the Rabbanan, so they had to be mechazek their halachas. So Davar HaAvod is only mutar on Chol HaMoed, which is the Daraisa, but b'mei Avelos, it's not permissible. That's one answer. Ravashi has a different answer. Ravashi Amar, no, he goes the other way. Lo mi bai ka'amar, no. Lo mi bai b'mei Evlo. Not only in the times of Avelos is this usur. I'm sorry. That's permissible. The Mishnah is taking for granted that Avelos is mutter. For sure Avelos is mutter. Avelos is the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan is mutter. But not only is Davar Avod mutter in Avelos, even Chol HaMoed, that at least the Iker, right? The Gemara says elsewhere, Lo Mesaran HaKasav El HaChacham, that Meleches Chol HaMoed is an Issur Doraisa. But the Torah doesn't explicitly, since it's not clear in the Torah that it's 100% usur, some psukim seem to say usur, and some psukim seem to say mutter. So the Rishonim understand the Gemara to mean that lo mesar nakasav el chacham, that's up to the rabbis. That's why you have these heterim, ablas chamod, tzarchei rabim, davar ha'avod, these other things. You have all these heterim because it's lo mesar nakasav el chacham. Even though the ikur idea of melachas lomah is daraisa, in terms of the details of which melachas are mutter usur, that's up to the chachamim. So b'makom pseida shau rabbanon. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is even melechas chol HaMoed is daraisa, but b'makom pseida if it's a hefsid, so melechas chol HaMoed is mutter. Tani kavase de Rav Shisha b'rei de Rav Idi. So we learned in a brisa in support of Shidra Idi that Bimei Avelos, it's Usr. Davar Avod is Usr. Ve'elu Dvar Ma'osin La'avel Bimei Avlo. The following thing other people are allowed to do for an Avel, Bimei Avlo, in order to save him from loss. But he himself can't do it. Zesim Hafuchin. If he had olives that were already at the time that you needed to press them, they're already Hafuchin, you already checked them. So it was ready for the time of pressing. Ton and low. Someone else can do it for him. Vikado loguf. If he needs to cover over the barrel with a seal, somebody else can seal it for him. Pishtano upishtano lahalos mina mistra. It's time he's got to take the flax out of the soaking. That you'd soak the flax. If he wouldn't take it out, it would get messed up. Vitsamro lahalos mina yore. Or he's soaking his wool in the big pot, umar bitzin sadehu. You have to water his field. Mishatig ketagia onas hamayim shelo. So somebody else can do it, but he can't do it himself. Rabbi Huda Oimer, af zorin lo stay near. Somebody else could even plant for him one of his fields. It was already plowed during the planting season. V'sadeho medes lepishton. And even a field that was made for flax. So if you don't do it at that time, you're not going to be able to do it. Amr lo, the Chum said to him, no. You're not allowed to do that. Imlo tizra be'bachir, tizra be'efel. If you don't plant it at the earlier time, you can plant it at the later time. It's not only 7 days, the planting season, so you'll plant it a little bit later. Imlo tizra pishtan, tizra be'minacher. If you can't plant it with a flax, plant it with something else. So it's not going to be a hefsid meruba. Maybe he'll lose a little bit, but it won't be a hefsid meruba. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, he goes even further. He could even do the mlach himself. Zeisav afuchen ve'en shem uman elohu. If he's the only guy that could do it, kadolok ve'en shem uman elohu. Pishtan ala alos min amisha, v'tzamer ala alos min ahayora, ve'en shem uman elohu. If he's the only guy there, hareza yaseh b'tzino. He's allowed to at least do it in private. If he's the only guy there that knows how to do it, he could do it in private. Yes, sir, I can't remember Reb Shimon Gamliel. Reb Shimon Gamliel gave a further heter, even more than this.
Obviously, when Jesus created their own Idi, he's talking about
the
word there's somebody else who could do it.
Okay. He doesn't stipulate. No, I don't know. Not necessarily.
Someone else is doing it for him, so obviously there's somebody else.
Right, but he doesn't say if there's nobody else that he's allowed to do it. He doesn't say that. Maybe he's got to lose it. By the fact that he said only somebody else can do it for him, sounds like even there's nobody else. Maybe. So Shimon Gamliel says, no, if he's the only guy there, it's a good point. I think some of the Rishonim learn like you, that he's not arguing, he's just coming to explain. Maybe. Yes, I can remember Shimon Gamliel. He said a further chiddush, even before Hesia, even if there's no hefsid, im hayu uman l'rabim, if a guy is the town barber, the sapor, who is the town doctor, the sapor, he's the town barber, ubalon, he's the town bathhouse attendant, l'rabim, v'higi es regal, and it comes yontif time, everybody needs his services. Ve'ein shamu man elohu, he's the only guy. Hareze yaseh, that's not even for himself, he's an avelus, and he's allowed to do this malacha, even before Hesia, so that either that he shouldn't lose the business, and therefore it's called a tzorech rabim. Now there's a big discussion about what the case is over here. I'll just say one thing about this, or two. The Sfas Emes, in the time that we have. So the Sfas Emes says that the chiddush of Reb Shimon Gamliel is that it's mutter from to malachim mefarhesia. The Karen Oyer writes that the chiddush is that even though he's not losing anything, this is menias harevach for him. He's not losing money, he's just not making money. Nevertheless, they allowed it tzorech rabim. Since it's a tzorech rabim, so he's allowed, you have both things. It's a tzorech rabim, and so they permitted him to make this money, even though he's not losing anything. Chazanish also a similar pshat. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is lahatir, even malacha, it's not a davar ha'avod, if it's letzorech hamoed, says the Chazanish. Now, Tosis over here, in the Ramaskar Rabbi Shimon, Tosis says, there's two opinions. Is this heter only if there is no one else? Or maybe even if there is somebody else, but no one is as expert as him. He's allowed to do this l'toelas harabim. And the Ravid writes that this din of Reb Shimon Gamliel Everyone agrees to it. However, the Rif and the Rambam leave out this halacha, and the Maharam Mirunberg, they leave it out. They hold, no, Chachamim are Yonam Shem Gamliel. And the halacha is like the Chachamim, that even if he's the only barber in town, he's not allowed to do this. And the Sfasemis is that that from their pshat sounds like the Lashon of the Braisa. Yes, Alkenu Hashem Gamliel sounds like only he holds that way. And the Chacham disagreed. And I think that's the way it's passed in the Shulchan Aruch. Oh, okay, a little bit more here. Ha'arisin, sharecroppers. Right, sharecroppers, they don't own the land. They work the land, and they pay the owner a percentage. Either a half or a third or a quarter. Excuse me, they get a percentage, right? They work. They use somebody else's land. They work the land, and they get either a half or a third or a quarter. V'ha-cha-kirin. And the same kind of thing with land. And a cholcher is they don't take a percentage. They take the fruit. They don't just get a cut in a money percentage. They take a percentage of the fruit. It's a similar idea as an aris, just that he gets paid with fruit instead of money. They get the fruit and
the fruit, and they pay the land, that landowner for the rights to use his field.
Right. They pay the landowner. Right. It's a different type of arrangement. Right, whether there's a lot or there's a little, either way he has to pay a set fee for usage of the land. He pays it in fruit, but he pays a set fee. V'hakablonim, that's a third kind of sharecropping arrangement. The fruit goes to the owner of the field, and he has to pay the worker a percentage, whether there's a lot or a little. Three different types of sharecropping arrangements. Now, what about if the sharecropper is an avelus? Hare'elu yasu acherim b'shvilan. So others, listen, the owner paid you, you know, he's expecting to get profit off of this. You're an avelus, not his problem. So somebody else can do it for you. Now, you're also losing. Hachamarin, and similar idea, a donkey driver. Hagamolin, or a camel driver, thank you. Vasapanim, or a guy who has a boat. He rents out his boat and takes it for people. Hare'elu lo yasu. These people can't do, they're not allowed to hire themselves or hire the animals out at all, because they're their own workers. They don't work in percentages. You just hire them out totally, so they're not allowed to, because the other guy's not losing. They just don't hire him. But if they already had a deal that they already hired out to somebody else, hare'elu yasu. So then they're allowed to do the malacha because the other guy's going to end up losing from them. Schir yom, if you have a day laborer, afilu b'yeracheres, even if it's in a different city and not in his city, lo yaseh, he can't do malacha at all because he can back out. So he has to back out. It's not a hefsid meruba. Hoysa malachas acherim b'yado, but if he agreed to do somebody else's work, afal pi shebikiboles, even though if he's an uman, even though he has an arrangement with the other guy, nevertheless lo yaseh. He's not allowed to do it during Avelos because he could finish it after the Avelos. If he's a Kablonus, so he didn't say he's got to finish it today. He could finish it afterwards. Afal pisha b'kibolas. Ask the Gemara. Afal pisha b'kibolas. V'lomi b'yishen b'kibolas. Adarabah. Kibolas k'ti deidami. That's worse. Ela'ema b'yishen b'kibolas. B'yishen b'kibolas lo yaseh. Either way, he can delay it till after the Avelos. Ha'isa malachto b'yad achirim. The Braisa continues. If the Avel has work in somebody else's hands, in other hands, so bebeso, if he's in his house, lo yasu. That looks bad. But bebeis acher, if he's doing the work in somebody else's house, yasu, so they shouldn't lose the money. Marion, just a little bit more here. So now he wants to tell a story about behemoth of an oval that's meshubed to work for somebody else. Oh, Marion Beray de Ravin, Umar Beray de Ravach Beray de Ravin, they were partners. Halu gamu de Torah b'ad adah, they were partners in a certain two cows that were doing work. They were partners, so they each had one cow that they would hire out to do work. Isrbe milsa mabre derava achabre derava. So one of them became an avel, so he couldn't work his upaske lagamle. So he took his I don't know why it's an ox. He took his ox out. So now the other guy's losing. Amar Rav Ashi, Gava Rabba Kibamri de Rav Acha Oved Hachi, he did this. Nehid Lipsed Didelo Chaish. He's not worried about the money that he's losing. But Adachim Lo Chaish, but what about his partner? His partner can't do the work now. Ask the Gemara. And I'm sorry, Vahatanya, Imhayu Mushabadu Mukham Aitzalchem Hare Lu Yasu. You're allowed to not do your own work if you're going to lose, but you can't cause somebody else to lose. So therefore, he got upset. He held he couldn't do that. From our answers, who suffered? He held Adam Chashuv Shaini. No, since he was a Talmud Chacham, he was allowed to back out of this deal because it's bad for a Talmud Chacham's animal to be doing work, even though he's doing work to help somebody else not lose money. But still, he's an Adam Chashuv. He's going to be extra machmer on himself, and he's going to pull his animal out of something that looks like his animal's doing work during Avelis. Okay, we'll stop there. I want you to have a wonderful day.
Thank you for being. Have a wonderful day.
Mordechai, have a great day.